or the Institute on Religious Life. Father Hardin.
I would like to say a little more about what we talked about the last time, except on a different level. In fact, I'd like to bring the Institute into the picture because we have already talked about various aspects of the religious life since Vatican II, but have said almost nothing about organizations of religions and for religions. So we will talk about the Institute on Religious Life, why it exists. I thought it was worth at least one class. There's something else I'm saving for the last class. I got a letter from Father Heiser. Now, he's the undersecretary of the Congregation for Religious, and there's some business which he deals with here. But he says, from the United States we receive good reports and not so good reports about religious life. But we know that God will preserve this gift he has given the church, and that although some religious may be misled by erroneous judgments, others will avoid such mistakes. I hope I'm talking to the right people. So we must have patience and confidence in this time of trial and error, because the meeting we had the day before I went out of circulation, I called him up in Rome and got Cardinal Carberry on the telephone, Bishop Hogan, so they exchanged some conversation in Italian. And the Institute on Religious Life, I would like to now speak about for the rest of today's class. And I think the best place to begin is something about the history of the organization. The Institute on Religious Life was established in 1974 at the opening of the then Holy Year. Our literature declares that its foundation is a direct result of a growing concern among bishops, priests, men and women religious, and the laity about the spiritual crisis in the modern world and its consequent effect on religious communities and their apostolic work. Well, that's what our literature says. It began about 7 years ago. I've been working for the Congregation for Religious for 13 years. About 7 years ago, I was written by Archbishop Meyer, the secretary of the Sacred Congregation for Religious, asking me if I could come to Rome, spend some time there to discuss prospects for helping to save sound religious life and helping people in other communities find themselves in the turmoil through which religious life is passing. I spent 10 days in Rome with the Sacred Congregation, and the immediate result was the foundation of this institute. What is its purpose? We have here five purposes for this institute's existence. The first and most important purpose is supernatural. Prayer and sacrifice are essential in order to obtain divine help for religious growth and vitality. This, then, is the first and main purpose of the Institute, that its members pray and sacrifice, asking God to help religious in presently strong communities, help those who have prospects of surviving to rediscover their needs and help individual religious maintain some semblance of solidarity as religious, in spite of the fact that in so many cases their own institutes have become secularized. We've had several national meetings open to the public. We had one in Chicago for major superiors. About 600 major superiors were in Chicago, at which representative of congregations of religions spoke to the people. We had another meeting of bishops, some 30 bishops in Kansas City. Our last national congress was in St. Louis, where if some of you attended, you know we had some 3,000 people attending one of Archbishop Sheen's last public appearances. The first purpose is prayer and sacrifice. The second is study and research. The Institute encourages specialists in the sacred and secular sciences to investigate problems facing religious communities and their apostolates. Their findings will help to meet the needs of the church in the modern world. It's almost a year now, it'll be a year in July, that we opened a Rome office of the Institute, requested by the Holy See. It is at the generalate of the Felician Sisters, whom you may know. A Sister Reginette, who is head of the theology department at her college in Lodi, New Jersey, was appointed by her mother general to take charge of the office. One of the purposes of her office, or our office, which she is running, is to furnish us with information about the problems and needs that we have, which can be answered by specialists in Europe and elsewhere, and vice versa, what we can learn from the experience of others. One thing you find out in working for the Holy See is that the United States is not unique in the crisis in religious life to which we are so obviously passing. I wouldn't even say that ours is the worst. Only the Lord knows which is worse. I would judge that at least France and Holland are in much worse shape than we. We now have some 90 religious institutes belonging to the Institute. But from the beginning, the Holy See told us that it wants not just religious, but also bishops, priests, and the laity to belong to the Institute. One of our problems over the years has been that we have faced problems that we could not ourselves resolve. I stayed for 9 days at Little Company of Mary Hospital. I knew them for community for over 30 years before my ordination. Originally an Irish foundation, just a great group of women, thoroughly dedicated and caring, especially for the sick. Their American province, in talking to some of the sisters who visited me in the hospital, has not had one postulant in 15 years. That's hard, very hard. The sisters are obviously getting up in years. Financially, it's becoming increasingly difficult to cope, even with their own needs, let alone for the apostolic work which the church would like to have them do. And they are by no means the worst hit. There are in the United States 362 women's communities. This is only my own opinion. I think that almost 200, more than a half, are going through such a severe crisis of personnel, of vocations, of finances, that barring a special, almost miraculous grace of God, many of these will disappear by the turn of the century, with great loss to the church and great loss to the members, because many are very dedicated people. So study and research. That's our second purpose of existence.